Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I'm going to be interviewing Teresa Heath Waring. Teresa's an award-winning international speaker. She's a TEDx speaker as well, a trainer, a podcaster. Has spoken on various stages all around the world, and I was delighted to be introduced to her via a mutual friend of ours and be able to chat with her all about her experience from working in the corporate marketing world to going at it alone, how she's managed to be able to take the stage internationally and talk about what she does. And hint, there's no cheating with what Teresa's done. She has worked pretty hard at it. So there's some really interesting stories in there as well, especially about who she's managed to get on her podcast and the methods that she was able to utilize to do that. But also because Teresa's got such an extensive background in marketing and in online marketing as well. I thought it would just be good to get her on to chat about what she thinks works in online marketing at the moment in 2021. And so there's a few gems in there for sure. So stay tuned for a bit of background, some good stories, some hints and tips, and I'll see you in a sec. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode.
Ready.
Perfect. All right. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. Really excited to have you here. We're gonna have a little bit more of an advanced chat in this episode. But before we get started, do you want to just say hi and tell us a little bit about yourself? In particular, you're an accidental entrepreneur. I think we'd love to know about that as well.
Yeah. Hello, and thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be here. So a bit about me. So I'm Teresa Heath Waring, and my official bio is I am an international award-winning speaker around all things marketing and social media. And basically, I am one of those lucky people that gets to do what they absolutely love. Like, I did a degree in marketing 16, 17 years ago.
Wow.
And ever since then, have worked in marketing, and I have done it all. Like, I've marketed chicken. I've marketed telescopic slides. I've marketed, I used to do corporate marketing for Land Rover UK. That was amazing. I've done everything. In fact, the only thing I haven't done hands-on is TV advertising. I've done pretty much everything else in lots of different guises. And about 7 years ago, I joke that I had an early midlife crisis and decided to hand in my notice to my job. And the reason this kind of came about, and the reason I say I'm an accidental entrepreneur, is because I never, ever wanted my own business. Like, I liked being an employee. I liked being patted on the head and told I'd done a really good job. And I was a good employee. I was irritating. Like, I was uber efficient. And I got, like I said, about seven-ish years ago, my husband and I of 12 years, or we'd been together 12 years, we've got a daughter together who was about three at the time, we separated. And I ended up being a parent on my own with my daughter. And it had been a hard few months, but it was, you know, it was coming through the other end and it was good. And I'd got this job that I'd been working at for a good few years, head of marketing in an agency local to where I lived. And I kind of decided that after a couple of things happened at work, you know, like I bumped into my boss one night, we were both drunk, we had a row, it wasn't great. That is not me. So I decided, you know what, it's probably a good idea if I move on now. So I handed my notice in, I gave her 8 weeks notice, and I thought, I'll find another job easy. I'm good at what I do. I've done this for a long time and I love it. Like, I eat, sleep, breathe marketing. So I knew I was good at what I did. However, I forgot that where I lived in nice rural Shropshire, actually there weren't that many massive businesses out there that could pay my salary. Got 4 weeks into my notice, nothing was coming.
Oh no.
What am I going to do? Back up against the wall, single parent, no husband, no second salary coming into the house, no rich parents, not rich, no savings, because I obviously was really bad with money then because I obviously didn't save anything. And I decided, well, what if I could do this myself? Like, I'd bought in money for the business. I'd gone out and pitched marketing. We'd done websites and branding and all the rest. What if I could pitch myself as a marketing person? So I decided to start looking at maybe starting my own business. My boss got wind of it and very sensibly told me to leave, which I do not blame her for one little bit. So then I'm left in a situation. I have 1 week. I have no money. Apart from the next month's earnings that are coming in, I have no savings, no one to support me, and I had to earn the money. I literally went out on day one and had to earn £1,500 a month, and I somehow managed to do it. I pitched myself out there as a marketing consultant slash you can't afford a marketing manager, I can be your marketing manager. And I thought, this is brilliant. I thought, my daughter's just about to start school. I'm going to be my own boss. I can manage my own time. Yeah, I don't know who the hell I thought I was kidding. I went from having like one boss to suddenly having like 9, 15, 20 bosses. Because of course, the more clients you get, the more people think they've got some buy-in over your time. So I started really doing more work in the online space and in the social media space. And I wanted to go and learn from the best people. And the way I could do this was online learning. I was doing, you know, webinars with Mari Smith 6 years ago and, you know, courses by Amy Porterfield and all the amazing people. And then I started to think, you know what? I like this. Like, what if I could do this? And I started wanting to help more and more small businesses. And I'm one of those people that, you know, you could just go, I couldn't ask you a quick question. And then suddenly I've just like given you a whole plan because I can't help myself. I just love this stuff. So I just wanted to help more and more small businesses, knew I couldn't do that at the rate I was at from a cost point of view. So then started looking at the online space. And about a year or two ago, I completely stopped my agency, no longer exists, and my business entirely online. And now I help small businesses from all around the world to better market themselves, to feel good about marketing themselves, to have the right mindset for their own business through an academy, a 90-day program, occasional courses, you know the drill, and my podcast.
Love it. What a story. I mean, like when we first met each other and had a quick chat, like it was quite interesting how many parallels there are between you and I, because I too come from corporate background, specifically in the tech side of marketing, though. I left my job in a bit of a huff after having an argument with my boss. Love as it. Well. Had 1 week of wages left in my bank account when I left, and I got a tax return to give me enough cash to see me, like a tax rebate, yeah, to see me through for a few months. Standing on the edge of a cliff like that after you've been in employment for a few years, I don't recommend it to people in my world. I say it's probably better to have a buffer behind you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. The funny thing was, I'd never even thought about having my own business ever in a million years. And then to just go ahead and do it under those crazy circumstances. No, I wouldn't recommend people do it that way. I made some mistakes, obviously, given that I did it in such a rush. I was very lucky, bearing in mind I'm from this industry. So when it came to websites and branding and all that good stuff, I knew people. So I was lucky in that sense. So I did have a website within a week. But I think for me, and I don't know about you, but like being so up against the wall, that was one reason I made it work, because I had no choice. I didn't have any other income. I had to pay the bills. I was on my own. But the other thing was, so many people doubted me. I think they thought I'd lost my mind. I think they thought, what is she doing? She's, you know, I'd been separated from my husband probably a good year or so at that point. you know, I earned good money. I was keeping the house going. I'd taken the house on. I was doing all the things. And then suddenly I was just going, oh, no, just throw that in. I don't want to do that anymore. And literally my own friends and family were like, well, if it doesn't work, you can always get another job. So
100%. Yeah, that personally drives me when people have doubted me in the past. And also, as a former project person, I've always thrived in the last 10% of any project where you have to deliver something. I seem to do my best work then. So yeah, I definitely on day one, I went for lunch and was just like, oh, okay, better go and find some money then. Oh my God.
anybody wants to work?
So you've had quite the journey though, I'd say, since you've gone out on your own, because you've been a TEDx speaker, which is a great accolade. You have your own very successful podcast. You've had some amazing guests on your podcast as well. And you're just known for being, you know, an international speaker. You know, you've got a really good reputation in the industry. Would you say you've kind of managed to bypass the kind of hard graft that people have to do to get there because of your background? Or do you think you've gone through some of that kind of hard graft yourself to get to where you are now?
What was interesting is when I started in my own business, I was known for marketing because that's what I'd done forever. And then I started doing more in the social media space, and it was like all my credibility fell on the floor. Like, literally, I had to fight even harder to go, no, I don't just know social media. I am a marketeer. I've done this for a really long time. And this is one of the reasons I'm really good at doing the social media side, because it was like the credibility of social media wasn't there when I started doing it. No one, and still to an extent now, is given to the youngest person in the office because they know how Instagram work, so let's give it to them.
The techie one, yeah,
exactly. Right, forget what you're putting on Instagram and how the company looks and what your strategy is and how you then make them convert to an email or convert to a sale. But no, so at the time, I think I had to fight quite hard to prove that I was still very good at marketing. But I think for me, I did. It's funny. I just remember doing all the stuff, working my backside off, volunteering and doing everything. Like when I first started speaking, I remember, my husband goes mad at me, I remember going to like a Biz Mums event, as in a local event, you know, that you would have done locally. And I sat in a play barn and I delivered a talk, right? And then like, and the problem was I never stopped doing stuff like that for ages. And he was like, seriously, Teresa, you really need to like, look at, you know, where you're at now, and you don't need to do that. And, but I just loved it. I just loved helping people. I just loved going and doing the thing. So I literally, every speaking opportunity that came up, I was like, yeah. Never thought I'm too big for this, or I'm, you know, if I'm free and I can do it, then I will try my hardest. I actually think in one way, it's been harder because I don't have a niche. Anybody listening to this debating whether they should have a niche or not, for me, having witnessed many, many, many business owners and helped hundreds and thousands of people, yeah, I'd have a niche if I was you. But the thing was, I haven't got one. And therefore, trying to get seen as something rather than just this all-round marketing person, which I am, there's very little that I can't talk about from a marketing point of view. But also now from a business point of view, I talk about mindset a lot. I talk about running a business, being a woman in business, being a parent and a step-parent in business, you know. So I think for me, it's almost been a bit harder to stamp my mark on people, but when they get me and when they follow me and they like me and they join the academy, it's great and they love it. But that's been really, really tough.
That's really interesting. So I had made an assumption that with a marketing background, yeah, like you'd be able to cruise it, but you still had to put in the work. Mm. I love that. I love that you did a Biz Mums talk. I was there in a pub in the daytime having coffee.
One of them too.
Yeah. You know, I'm just so anti-networking as an introvert. I just find it really difficult. But I just thought, well, I have to go out and talk to people and try and sell myself. So at what point do you think, I've got this? I'm people think I'm it, like, you know, that reputation you talked about, which a lot of people from corporate say they go through. You're a big wig in corporate, right? But as soon as you go into the online marketing space, it's like, doesn't matter you were at Land Rover, doesn't matter that you handled 2, 3, 10 million a year budgets. You know, so at what point did that kind of change for you?
Oh, do you know what? That's such a good question. So like, I'm a very honest person. I like to be very honest. When I was at Land Rover, I was an idiot because I'd been given this big, important job. I was fairly young and I was like, check me out. And my friends must have thought I was insufferable. And then I got a job as a director for a care company. Again, fairly young, good salary. And again, I thought I was like all it. And then I started my own business, right? The thing that in some minds you would think, yeah, I'm a director of my own company. Like, that's the thing that you should be like, check me out. And of course, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like I was kidding myself almost every single day. Like, who do I think I am? And I've worked really hard to get my reputation up there. I've worked really hard to be so authentic about who I am. And like I said, to power on through without any niche, to go, I can talk to you about all these things, to keep going through that and just be seen from my credibility point of view. You know, some people who might hold me on a pedestal or might say lovely things about me, I'm still like, you know, this is nuts. This is absolutely crazy. I'm starting to realize now, from a knowledge point of view and from my brain point of view, it's like it took ages for me to actually put a value on my brain. So it's now I feel like I'm really confident in what I do. And I can at last say to people, I'm really good at what I do, you know, which I think is a very difficult thing to say out loud, because people can look at you like, all right, big Ed.
As a woman as well, you know, we have to downplay our tall poppy syndrome, don't we? You know, in many quarters.
Yeah. And it's not something that you would have done in corporate world. Whereas now it's like, no, I am good at what I do. And so I'm really confident with that. But it's still every single day a fight, every single day, every single day. Like, there is always another level. So, you know, it's a well-known saying, you know, new level, new devil. And that's exactly what it is. My worries might be different than they were 2 years ago, but it's now, okay, so we're at this stage. So how do we get to the next stage? Or, you know, we've just taken on a new team member who is a really expensive team member, like the most expensive team member I've now got on top of everybody else, which I couldn't even find a way to get rid of some of the other roles in order to bring this person on. But it's like, if I need to now step up to the next level, I need to pull myself out of my comfort zone, put a big salary on the table, and then crack on and bring in the money for it. So yeah, I don't know if anybody does ever get to that stage, like, yes, I've made it, I am brilliant, done, then please tell me how, because I don't know that many people do.
So you've rubbed shoulders with some well-known marketeers in the online marketing space. So you just name dropped earlier Amy Porterfield there. She's been on your podcast. My favorite, James Wedmore. I just love his mindset stuff so much. How did you, I mean, you've interviewed Pat Flynn as well. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, how did you get to that space where you're rubbing shoulders with, you know, some of the more well-known internet celebs in marketing space?
Initially, so I guess let's start with the getting on stage, because that came first. Mm. I literally had to put myself out there. I had to push my fear to one side and I had to just go and apply. And I had to go, do you know what? I'm not even going to worry whether I think I'm good enough or not. I'm just going to apply. And what's the worst they can possibly say? But I asked Brené Brown very recently to come onto the podcast, and her team, you know, contacted me and we had a conversation, and I've had a bit of to and fro with Brené's team. Now, Brené's not coming on. She said no, but that doesn't matter, because it's like, I would never have had the guts to do that. So in terms of, first of all, getting out there, it's just got to be, you've just got to ask the question. You've got to, you know, obviously there was things I did. I went above and beyond. My very first speaking gig I had in the States, we had to put in like a video to say why we should be picked. And I did this entire like production, and we went over the top, but it was like, do you know what? And that was the first time I met Pat Flynn. He was on right before me, and to be in the green room with him at that point, that was like gold dust. So So yeah, so I put this video out. I did this whole thing around being British. I pretended to have this really British voice and I was drinking tea. And then I tried to be funny. And then like, you know, I was like, here I am next to the castle where I live, because there is a castle where I live, you know, and I was like, and they just loved it. And I got picked, which I was like, that's amazing. So then getting picked, I then get flown over to the States. I'm then on a massive stage with like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and watching. Pat Flynn is my warm-up act, as I like to tell him. and I got to sit and I got to meet Pat. So then it was about getting in front. And it was at the time where actually in the UK, there wasn't that many of us going across to San Diego, to Social Media Marketing World or Traffic and Conversion, or and paying that much money out. And for me, that stepped me, that was like another level where I was like, okay, where, who am I with? Who am I surrounding myself with? And how can I get to the next level? And actually going and paying. And it was a lot of flipping money. One of the events I did, I wasn't speaking, I was just attending. It was Traffic and Conversion, day off, Social Media Marketing World. $8,000 that cost me. That trip, $8,000. Like, that is not small money, but I get to be in the same room. I get to have conversations with Pat again. I get to meet certain people. So my very first two podcast interviews were Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield. And everyone's always like, how the hell did you get those two? And do you know what I did? Pat said, I was watching Pat at Traffic and Conversion, and he said the best way, someone was asking him how to get guests on a podcast. And he said, one of the best ways is inviting them for a coffee. Like, so maybe not during an event time, because obviously they're very busy, but, you know, saying, I'd love to meet up for a coffee, or I'd love to, you know, have a connection with you. So I got back to the UK and I sent a voice, a video DM to Amy, who I'd met a number of times by this point. And I sent a video DM to Pat and I basically said, Pat, you said, take you out for a coffee. Well, I live 5,500 miles away, but I'm flying over to the States to take you out for a coffee. Will you meet me? And I did. And I flew to the States and took him out for a coffee. And then I asked Amy and she said, yes. And I think going to that effort, I mean, that's an extreme level of effort, but, and as it was, you know, we wanted a trip out there anyway, but I just made those, I really, like, you could say half of it's luck and half of it's like, no, I went out and hunted it down and then thought, how can I go above and beyond? So for me, it's about that. And then for me, it's about finding those connections. So for instance, once I'd had Amy on, I could go to the likes of Rick Mulready. I could go to Jasmine. Jasmine came a similar time to James. Again, I paid to be in James's course and then paid to be in his next level course and then got into the James crowd. So it was an element of paying. It was an element of making an effort. It was an element of making you stand out, but it's just putting a bit of effort in, you know, and thinking, I had someone apply for my podcast the other day that did such an amazing job of like putting himself out there. And his, what he was talking about isn't something I wanted to talk about at any time soon. But I could not have him on because he wrote me a review and he screenshot the review, wrote me and he did all this extra effort. And I was like, yeah, kudos to you. Take my hat off. You can come on. Because you get so many people who just expect it. And I think if you can just step up a bit, it'll make the world a difference.
I mean, this is why I wanted to chat to you, Teresa, right? Because you are incredibly strategic, right? But in a really genuine way. So I love that, that you know that there's an element of serendipity there with what you were doing as well. And you've capitalized on it. And I think that's like, with a lot of the small business owners that I kind of talk to, like they kind of like, I've set my stuff up. Why is no one coming to me? Yeah. But you do have to put yourself out there. You do have to make yourself feel uncomfortable. Talk to the people you feel you would never be worthy enough to talk to before. You know, really push yourself, because that is how people who do incredibly well started out. You know, it's the same story I hear again and again. It's like really pushing yourself out. With that in mind, with your observations then of what's been going on in the past kind of like few years as a kind of premium online marketer, rubbing shoulders with some of the best in the world there, right? I want to like nail into what you think converts, right? Because your program is called Marketing That Converts, right? Yes. And I'm obsessed with conversions from a data point of view. And I'm really interested to hear from you what you think converts for small businesses doing online marketing at the moment, because we hear the same things again and again being rolled out again and again. You've got to be really good at SEO. You've got to write blogs. By the way, you need to post this many times on social, set up a lead magnet, da, da, da. And I think some of this stuff is becoming so repetitive to small business owners. They're not listening anymore. Yeah. And they're not seeing the strategic way that they can get out there in just the awesome way that you spoke about before. So I kind of love to hear your thoughts on where you think we're at in 2021 in particular.
Yeah. No, I love this question. I think the first thing I want to say is the thing that kind of really gets my back up is how easy everybody makes out it is, and it's absolutely not. You know, I have a membership, I have a 90-day program where I do coaching one-to-one, and I sell courses, and my sales are not as big as I'd like them to be, because, and yet I have an audience. I have a podcast that has almost 150,000 downloads. I have an audience I get asked to speak on stage, and yet it's still not that easy. So I think for me, the first thing is, you know, I don't want to go, it's all a lie, but like a lot of it is, it's made out like it's so easy. And you know what happens? Someone messaged me the other day, they were watching a webinar and they're like, oh my God, that person, they just told of one of their students that made, $30,000, and they only had an email list of 120 people. And I was like, yeah, but what they didn't tell you was, do they have a Facebook group? Do they have a blog that's read by 20,000 people? Do they have a podcast? Do they do loads in ads? They're not giving you the full picture. And then what happens is, you know, my lovely student, let's say, goes out there, puts something out there, no one buys, and they think it's a terrible idea. Or they think that even worse, they think there's something wrong with them, or they think that they're doing terrible or whatever. And it's like, no, it's not like, I'm not saying it's really hard. It's not that. It's not rocket science, okay? And this is why it's such a shame that people do ignore the basics, because unfortunately, they are the things you need to do, okay? And as frustrating as it is that I talk incessantly about knowing who your customer avatar is, and incessantly about building an email list, you know, and doing regular content, the truth is, when you look at those big people, that's what they do. So even if they're trying to sell you a story, and some of them do, even some of the big ones, some of the people I've had on my stuff, you know, some of them will sit there and go, hey, you know, so-and-so did this and they only had blah, 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 blah. Because of course it makes a great headline. But the truth is, look at their stuff. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they're showing up. It's not as easy as they make out. So that's the first thing, that you're almost sold a lie from the minute you step into this industry.
Yeah, and I think that's because of the stories associated with them, because the stories are what sells, right? So, you know, I've had a common trope of, you know, I was homeless, I had nowhere else to go, you know, and then I just invested in this thing, drop shipping, Bitcoin, whatever it is. Now, look, I've got the Lambo behind me. I've got the house on the other side. But the truth is, they were probably in property marketing when they were homeless, i.e. they moved from one house to the other. Like, it's about how you craft that story. Yeah. But of course, it creates a generation of people that think, well, if I could just get lucky, rather than doing the graft.
And that's all it takes. You know, it's the graft. It's the turning up every single day. It's the consistency. It's the tenacity. And you know what, when I look at like some of the big people that I follow and I respect, and I think, you know, they've done an amazing job, they were rocking up on Facebook Lives or Instagram Lives when no one was watching, and they didn't care. They just kept doing it, and they didn't whinge and they didn't moan. They just turned up. And then, you know, 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, people start to realize, oh, okay, this person's saying some sense, or, you know, we like what they're saying, we're going to watch them. But the problem is, we only find those people when they're at a stage and they've done really well. When you're really honest with yourself about, have I put in the key elements and the basics, I think a lot of us can go, actually, yeah, I probably could do better. And I'm talking about us as well. I literally last week spent 3 days going back through who my customer avatar is. And I haven't done that for ages, and it was really helpful. And there were some things that I pulled out that I thought, oh, great, I'm going to tweet that on the sales page, or I'm going to use this message now. I literally a week ago started a new way of doing my social media to see if I can get some more traction doing it a different way. Like, so it's not that we ever get to the point and that's it, we're done. We still have to do that. We still have to review those things. So for me, when we harp on about the basics all the time, it's because they're so important. Knowing who your customer is, knowing or finding an audience that wants to listen to you and turning up for that audience, whether they're there or not, choose your platform, go all out on it. You know, I'm not a big fan of being on everything. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't. But unfortunately, we cover so a lot and I'm in marketing. But, you know, choose your platform, go all out, show up whether no one's watching, and then have the bravery to just go out there and put your name in the hat, you know, in the ring, and go, yeah, I want to be part of that. I can do this. And then also the other thing I see lots of people that do things wrong in the sense of they don't appreciate what they've got. So, you know, I had a member really early on who said, she launched a membership and she came onto one of my calls and I was like, how did it go? And she said, it was right at the beginning of my membership. She said, I got one member. And I was like, okay, so what are we going to do about this then? And I said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love them.
Oh,
you're
my God.
Absolutely love on that person, because that person chose to give you some money. Whenever I doubt like numbers, because it's really easy to hear the big numbers as well. I did a six-figure launch. I did a this launch. I've got this on my list. I've got, you know, and whenever I think about stuff like that, I think, so on my first launch, I did something like 35 members I got on my first launch. Like 35 people in my house, that's quite a lot of people. Like that's 35 people who may not know me and want to give me money. Like that is massive, absolutely massive. So like looking at some of those basics is really, really important.
I have seen videos of Gary Vee when he first started out. Mm-hmm. I've seen James Wedmore's early videos when he was doing his cocktail making on YouTube, right? Even Sarah Blakely, like pictures of her at the kitchen table making Spanx, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. They all had to start somewhere. And someone was probably like, who are these people? I remember doing a Facebook Live that no one watched, like absolutely no one watched, right? When I first started out, and I'm like, I'm going to carry on. Like people are watching. And I remember feeling like really despondent. And I saw my dad the next day and he went, what's this Facebook video thing? I was like, oh, it's called a Facebook Live, Dad. Did you see it? And he went, yeah, you looked amazing on it. Like you were so confident. And if he hadn't have said that to me, but just to have one person watching, but, you know, really similar to you. When I first sold a course, like in beta stage, three people bought from me. Oh. They are still amazing people that I talk to this day. I call them my original crew. They have VIP access for anything they ever want, you know, and I love them. If they come along and they're like, oh, I don't want to bother you. And I'm like, this is like 3 years ago now. I'm like, you can bother me about anything. I love you guys. If they're listening, they know who they are, right? But I love that. We all have to start somewhere, right? So getting those basics right is super important. What do you think, though? What is the trendy thing that's converting now?
So for me right now, what is really working is if you're talking about selling things, the courses that I am seeing be super successful are experience courses, and they can be done either free or as a paid thing, so that, you know, we're no longer just doing a launch with a webinar, we're doing an experience. It's like a 3-4-5 day thing. Practical stuff. So again, I think people, especially in the online space, as in if they're in online marketing, are getting a bit sort of jaded with just having a massive course to do, which they don't do. And they're starting to realize that actually, you know, we're you know, and I'm sure we can talk about many courses that we've bought and not finished. But like, you know, the fact is now it's about doing something. I ran and will run every so often a build my list course, where in 10 days I take someone from having no list to creating a lead magnet, to then putting it out there, to then starting their list. And it's a follow me along, because I am there holding their hand every step of the way. So at least within those 10 days, they might have to work quite hard, but within those 10 days, they've done the job and they've done the thing. Because I think there's far too much out there where we're not getting them to do the thing, and then they're wasting time learning how to do it and then not doing it. And then the other thing I'm seeing convert really well are things like toolkits. So the done for you, because everybody wants a quick fix. And I always joke, if someone could give me a pill and I could be size 12 tomorrow, I would. Of course you would. Who wouldn't? Like, who wants to put all that hard work in? No one does. So where there is, or where people think there is a quick fix, then that can sell really well. Now, the truth is there's never a quick fix. You've always got to put the work in. But by giving someone like a toolkit where you've done the contracts for them, or you've done the onboarding process for them, or again, in the Build My List course, we literally write their onboarding emails for them. We give them the copy to include in their lead magnet. Like, where we can do as much as possible for them, then those seem to be really converting well. And still, lead magnets, getting people on your email list. You know, I think people have gone past the naffy, like, you know, 5 pages of PDF of nothing. And we can do different things. I still think the PDFs work. They still absolutely convert for me. The other thing that really converts as well, and it's just happened literally in this last day or two, I have been asked to do an online summit. Now, again, you know, if someone's filling an online summit, that's a lot of people they're trying to get to speak. You know, online summits are anywhere between, I don't know, sort of 10 and 25 speakers. And normally they require you to do a bit of marketing to promote them, but then you can promote a freebie. And I've just done an online summit that just went live yesterday and had something like 60 people already opt in to my email list because I offered a freebie at the end of it. You know, so for basically 1 hour of talking and a freebie that, oh, actually I didn't already have, I had to create, but that's okay. That probably took another half a day. I just had 60 people opt in to my email list. So there are some really, really good things. Obviously things like, you know, this is where I'd be careful with things like reels. I love reels. They're great. They're really
on Instagram, right? Instagram reels.
Sorry, Instagram reel. They're brilliant and they're fun and they're whatever. But actually I've done a couple now, not enough to say this is a proper test. Believe me, you know, if I was doing this properly, I'd have done a lot more, but I know people are doing reels consistently and they haven't yet seen the benefit other than the number of people watching the reel. So they haven't seen a conversion. They haven't seen it grow in their numbers. So sometimes just, you've got to be sure and really set on what your objective is and having those goals. So if my goal is to increase my podcast downloads or is to get people on my list, well, is that going to do that? And I've got to be really honest with myself and go, as much as reels are great and the vanity metrics are lovely, you know, oh, 1,000 people watch that. That's excellent. Did any of them actually do anything? No.
Yeah. And this is where, like, data, for me, data-driven marketing is great for small businesses because you can validate what you're doing, you know, almost instantly, right?
Yeah.
And compared to, you know, leaving it a few months and seeing kind of what happens. I'm quite interested at the moment in trying to get, like, my small business people to focus more on the kind of the bottom of the funnel, like the hot audience conversions at the moment, because I'm definitely seeing a move back towards traditional sales kind of marketing tactics with conversions at the bottom of the funnel, like getting on a voice note, or like you were doing, sending a video DM to Pat Flynn, like actually getting the sale and really just like getting rid of any fluff, no need anymore for a blog post or a lead magnet. You know, if you've shown me buying signals, let's get on and have a relationship, right? Yeah. And I'm definitely seeing a trend towards that. And I love that.
Yeah. And I've done exactly the same myself. So I have funnily enough, the 90-day program used to be a small group coaching program. And now it's a one-to-one. The price has gone up. It's one-to-one. It just fits me better. But I had the small group coaching program. And obviously the thing with that is you have to fill them all at once. So I put it out there. And the first time I ran it as a small group one, I didn't get many people on. Like, again, like I said, you know, you look at someone's audience, you look at their Instagram, you look at the thing, you think, oh, they must have it easy. No, asking people to give you money is a very different matter than someone just watching a reel. And asking people to give you thousands, which is what my 90-day program was. So anyway, I decided to hustle a bit. And it was funny because someone else had to tell me to do it. So I have a lovely friend called Jenalina who's over in the States, and she does a lot of online stuff. And I was chatting to her and I was like, it's not gone as well as I'd like, Jen. And she's like, what have you done? And she said, right, what I want you to do right now. She goes, it was Sunday. She goes, go up to your office. She goes, I want you to record a video of you looking at their website, talking about why they would be so perfect, because these people are on my wait list. And she was like, they're on your wait list. They're obviously interested. So why haven't they converted? And I did it. And do you know what? Of these 7 videos I sent, 2 converted.
Genius. I love that so much. So awesome. Who would take the time to do that? You know, and to actually get that like feedback from, yeah, I love that. And I see marketing and conversion at the bottom of the funnel going back towards that when it works as well.
So often people will look at like size of people and go, well, that's okay for you to do, Teresa, at that point, because, you know, you weren't dealing with loads of people or whatever. And, you know, it's easy. And in fact, if you are small, this is even easier to do because you haven't got loads of people that you're having to deal with. But then when you're big, so take someone like Jasmine Starr. Obviously, I've met Jasmine a number of times. I've had her on the podcast. She knows who I am, which is lovely. I joined Social Curator again. So she has a membership, Social Curator. I'd already been a member. I left and I rejoined. Now, I don't know how this happened to come about, but it did. Somehow, Jasmine obviously saw who had joined, but like she had like thousands come in. I'm not even kidding you. It was a big, big launch. She saw my name. She sent me a personal voice DM saying, hey, Teresa, I've just seen that you've rejoined Social Curator. So great to see you in there. Da, 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 da. Like, she's Jasmine freaking Starr. She had thousands come in, and she can still do that to a degree. Now, granted, I'm fairly confident that she didn't do it with everybody, but like, the point is you can still make that effort. You can still put that outreach out there. And again, who's willing to do it? It was a Sunday. The sun was shining. I remember very specifically because I was sat on the grass as I was voice DMing Jen. And when she said, get upstairs now, I was like, I don't want to get upstairs. It's a Sunday. I want to sit and drink my gin. And I didn't. I came upstairs. I turned my computer on, looked at their websites, tried to see what experience I had in their industry. And I recorded them a video and went, hi, it's Teresa. I hope you're okay. And all of them were like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for getting back to me. Like, that's amazing. And 2 of them bought. So I love that stuff.
Brilliant. I love it. I've loved everything about this chat, by the way.
Thank you.
And I think we're going to have to talk again about lots more things. I feel like we didn't really explore too much about our mutual hatred of bro marketers.
No, we do a whole...
in this chat. They know who they are. They know who they are. Maybe we could have a special episode about that one day. Just a vent. Yeah. But Teresa, can you let everybody know who's listening where they can find you online? Like, tell them about your podcast, please.
Of course. So you can search Teresa Heathwaring anywhere and you'll find me. Instagram is my absolute favorite. So I am more active over there than you'll probably see me on the others. My podcast is Marketing That Converts. So please come and check that out. And if you go to teresaheathwaring.com, you will find everything in there.
Thank you again so much for joining us. I just loved all the stories, all the gems, and like, we hope to see you on here again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.